Today is the final part in our series on the life we were made for, and I will be speaking about hope. Our two Bible readings will be read by Janet Allen and Robert Mélie, and after the talk, Sam Carter will be leading our prayers. Please note that next week there won't be another new service for Sunday the 26th of July because I will be on annual leave. So this service will be on your telephone for 2 weeks. We're coming into land in our series on the life we were made for. We've been exploring how the Bible's vision for the good life is the God life, how God is joining his life to ours. We've explored that as followers of Jesus, our identity lies outside ourselves and therefore is completely safe. Christ in us, the hope of glory, rather than no rights, no wrongs, no rules for me. We've explored how God is in the business of restoring the marred and damaged work of art that we are. And we've explored how we are a holy people and how the holiness that Christ has won for us on the cross is both our secure anchor and the engine that spurs us on. God is in the business of sorting out the mess of this world. And those who are united to him become part of this divine mission. At Virtual Coffee a few weeks ago, we explored the apparent contradiction that God is fully in control and that at the same time, we are fully responsible for our own choices and actions. God is in control. Yes, he has been in control during this crisis. And at the same time, we are fully responsible for our choices and for our actions. And one day we will have to give an account to God. And the one choice that is more important than all others is this: my will be done or thy will be done. The biblical concept of sin means rebellion against God. It means living the my will be done life. And God is mystified by sin. Why would I choose no rights, no wrongs, no rules for me when it imprisons me in a nice palace of my own making? God creates this beautiful world and tells Adam and Eve, you can enjoy all the fruits of all these trees except for one. And what happens? They make a beeline for this one tree. We are fully responsible for our actions. And so we need the stark reality of the cross to come to our senses. It is God's shout to the world, have I got your attention now? I love you so much that I give my very self so you can return to me as sons and daughters, so that justice is done. Because sin and rebellion matter. They have to matter to a God of justice. And in Jesus, God offers us this divine exchange to take upon himself our rebellion and sin, and to give us his righteousness. We are in Christ, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like us his praise should sing. Our ingrained desire is to be in control, and COVID-19 has starkly reminded us we're not, and yet we run from God and make a beeline for the forbidden tree. Here is the Bible's message about our eternal destiny. If your life's motto is consistently, my will be done, then eventually he will say to you, thy will be done. No one is forced into heaven. The grace of God in Jesus is not a cheap grace. It cost Jesus his life. It will cost you your life, your self-centered, self-directed life. But this is such a message of hope, because we become part of God's mission of restoration in this life, and we receive indestructible, eternal resurrection life, the life we were made for. Here is our first reading from Luke.
Luke 24:44-53. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, blessing God.
Jesus is the first human being in heaven. J.I. Packer compares heaven with a control center of a busy train station. We are standing on the platform and we can't make sense of all the train movements, but Jesus can. He is the divine conductor. And so we don't have to fear the future. We know who the real king is, who is truly in control. And he has finished the race we're still in and is cheering us on. The next few months and possibly years won't be easy. Our sense of being in control has been rocked. Massive inequalities have been laid bare in our society. Unemployment will rise. Mental health issues have come to the fore. And the death of loved ones has brought home to us the fragility of this life. More than ever, our communities need to know the indestructible hope of the gospel. And we are to live our lives as resident aliens, already belonging to God's future kingdom. So let's embrace this gospel opportunity. Let's not waste it. We are responsible for our choices. Last week, Edda and I watched the hit musical Hamilton, a story of grace, forgiveness, and redemption. Great music and very moving. One of the central lines in it is, "I'm not gonna throw away my shot." Yesterday, I marked my 53rd birthday. When I was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis as a child, it seemed very unlikely that I was going to see this day. But I was and am determined to make my years count for Jesus. You and I don't know how many years are given to us. I think of our friend Sue, who died far too early. But she sowed so many beautiful gospel seeds. It's been humbling to hear from people, "I'm here in this church. My faith has been strengthened because of Sue." She didn't throw away her shot. And when Jesus calls us home, we have an indestructible hope.
Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away.' And the one who was seated on the throne said, 'See, I'm making all things new.' Also he said, 'Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life.'"
God is preparing for us a glorious future. And in the meantime, he's entrusting us with his kingdom mission. And for that, we need everyone. The older ones who pray, who can pour God's grace and wisdom into the lives of the younger generation. people like Sue and the younger ones who are not satisfied with the way things are, who have the energy to make a difference, and the ones in the flabby middle, like myself. As a local church, we need to understand what God is saying to us. And rather than rushing back into everything that we did before lockdown, we need some headroom, some breathing space to reflect and get ready for the new things God is asking us to do. And that mission must be grounded in prayer and in a life that's marked by good news, grace and truth, healthy habits, holy habits. I believe that more than ever, our mission will be based on each of us living this Christian life where God has placed us already, and less on our church buildings and lots of programs. Some people call it whole life discipleship. That's why healthy habits are so crucial. It's my prayer and my passion that we find new ways of reaching out to our community and to share the love of God, to introduce them to Jesus. We are dreaming that our church would be known as a community where people with various needs will find love and grace and help. We'll do this step by step as God leads us and with the resources he gives us, but we will take steps. We're not going to throw away our shot. At the end of our service today, we will sing Love Divine and worship the God who wants to enter our trembling heart and give us an eternal hope, changed from glory into glory, till in heaven we take our place, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise. Amen.